let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 22. I don't know if you noticed, but we had to close the curtain tonight. Sun was coming in right about eye level on some of you, so we had to close the curtains. First time for the season. So we have to get used to that little change of things. Next Sunday, Saturday, I think technically, is time change weekend. So take note of that and be prepared for that painful change in time and timing. Luke chapter 22, I want to read verse 21 through 30. And the title of our message, the title of our thoughts will be These Church Members. These Church Members. Look for the thems and the theys in our text tonight that identify for us these church members. As Jesus Christ rode that donkey into Jerusalem and began a great trial of affliction and persecution leading to his crucifixion, you find his church mentioned often. I hope you know what we mean by that. And we find the theys and the thems frequently, and our passage tonight refers back to this time of testing and trial that Jesus Christ was going through. Verse 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For rather is greater he that setteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that setteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In verse number 28, Jesus Christ says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. As I ask you to think about these church members, Jesus Christ says in verse number 28, ye are they. He says to those apostles, those 12 yet in number, ye are they. ye are they. He says in that 28th verse to these church members, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations. The word continued simply implies that they stood with him. They stood by him. Ye are they which have continued. You are those that have stood by me. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Temptations speak of trials, afflictions, or sufferings. And Christ is saying to these church members, those first church members, the apostles, as he had first set them in the church, you are those that have stood by me in my trials, my afflictions, and my sufferings. This is quite an affirmative word that Jesus Christ says to these church members. This is certainly what you'd like to hear the Lord say to you, to me, as members of one of his churches. You are they that have stood by me. You are they which have stood by me. You are of those that have stood by me in my trials, my afflictions, and my sufferings. I guess it wouldn't hurt for us to ask tonight, can it be said of us, even now? Are we of those that have stood by Jesus Christ? Are we amongst those that have continued with him? As we think about his representation in the world today, and so his testings, his trials, his afflictions continue, not in him directly, physically, but in his brethren that are in the world, as we are his representatives. Jesus Christ is still suffering trials and afflictions and sufferings in and through us, as we are the church, the body of Christ. And as individuals, we are the temple of Jesus Christ. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, my trials, my afflictions, my sufferings. They have been with him from the beginning when he first chose them. But in this very narrow window of his third year, maybe, of public ministry, the intensity has been cranked up. The attacks and the efforts to slay Christ, to eliminate Christ, to destroy Christ, are ever increasing. Begins with that questioning there a couple chapters back where he says, where they said to him, what right do you have? Here they are saying to Jesus Christ, what right do you have to do these things? What right do you have to say these things? And it was getting more and more intense. And they are even more so standing beside him during these increased difficulties and increased times of attack and persecution. He says to his church members, those of his first church, you are they which have stood with me. You are they which have stood with me in my temptations. The book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 17 and 18. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He himself hath suffered. He himself has been tempted, tried, afflicted, and persecuted. He went through all of that for us. He went through all of that he might aid us when we would be called upon to experience these things. In chapter 4 of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Okay, we have such a high priest as Jesus, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help, grace to help in the time of need. So ye are they which have stood with me. You are those church members that have stood with me in my hour of trial, tribulation, and difficulty. Now going back to our text, from that thought, you are those that have stood with me. You are those who have continued with me. From that, I think he poses the question, Have you not learned? Those of you who have stood with me, those of you who have been beside me, those of you who have continued with me in my temptations, have you not learned? Have you not learned? Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them, that's the church members we're identifying. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And Jesus says, you are they which have continued with me. You are those that have stood with me in my temptations. Have you not learned that it's not about who is the greatest? That's not what it's about. But they're making it about that. As they had done previously, again, There is a strife amongst them who should be counted the greatest. And Jesus says, to you who have stood with me even at this most critical time, to you that have continued with me, have you not learned that it's not about who's going to be the greatest? There shouldn't be any strife going on amongst you in this regard. Have you not learned? In verse number 26, but ye shall not be so. This is not the way it's to be among you. This is not how I want it to be among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Those of you, you church members that have stood with me and continued with me during this most critical time, have you not learned that it's not about who's the greatest? Have you not learned that in order to be great, you need to serve? Have you not learned that? Those that will be chief are those that serve. Those that serve. And in verse number 27, so for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. They're wrangling around about who's going to be the greatest, and Jesus wonders why they haven't learned better, why they've missed maybe the critical point. It's not about who is greatest. They miss the critical point that in order to be great amongst his disciples, in order to be great amongst his church, you've got to learn to serve. Have you not picked up on this? Jesus poses the question, who's the greatest? Who's more important? The one sitting at the table, having food brought to him and served to him? Who's greatest? The one being served at the table, treated like he's someone special, or he that serves? Well, common sense says, well, the one sitting at the table is greater. The one being served is greater. And so Jesus says to them, and here I am. Who am I? Here I am serving you. He was serving the Last Supper. He was serving the first Lord's Supper in the upper room there in these fleeting moments. He has washed their feet, taken water and washed them to teach them humility and to be a servant. And he says to these church members, he says to ye, are they which have continued with me, stood with me in my temptations, have you not learned that the greatest among you isn't the important question? The one that'll be greatest is those that will serve. Have you not learned by my example that the greatest is not the one who's being served, but the one doing the serving? And I'm the one doing the serving. They certainly couldn't argue with the fact that he was the greatest, and he had become a servant, according to that 27th verse. So these church members, are they which had continued, those that had stood by the Lord during his trials, afflictions, and sufferings, and his passion, and his being seized and tried and crucified, these church members are those that stood by him, and he throws a little accolade, if you would, towards them. You stood with me. I certainly would want to be amongst those that the Lord says that to. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. So he says to these church members, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and have you not learned? That's not about being the greatest, but it's about serving in order to be great. It's about the example that I have laid before you by serving you. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Therefore, I appoint unto you a kingdom. He's saying to these church members, these members of that first church that was always with him once he set them in it, and was with him up to the time of Gethsemane and his being seized and put on trial. Ye are they which have continued with me. Ye are they who have stood with me in my temptations. And consequently, verse number 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. I have always been faithful. I've always been obedient. I've always kept the will of the Father and done the will of the Father. And he has reserved for me a kingdom. The kingdom of Christ. The millennial kingdom. The eternal kingdom. And Jesus Christ says to these who have stood with him, these church members, just as God has appointed me a kingdom, I have appointed unto you a kingdom. He's not going to let their having stood by him go unrewarded. I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We tend to believe and lean towards believing that Christ is speaking to the 12 apostles, whichever 12 will make up that number, that they will have rule over the 12 tribes of Israel during the millennial reign, after the new heaven and the new earth comes. I don't know if other church members, other faithful members of the Lord's church will have any part in that ruling and reigning, because all the other faithful church members that I consider are going to be found to be blessed to be in the bride of Christ. And that's a special blessing and special privilege. But he says to these that have stood with him, these church members, ye that have stood with me, continued with me in my temptations, I appoint unto you a kingdom, just as my Father God hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. What did Jesus say last week as he observed the Last Supper and instituted the first Lord's Supper? He says in verse number 15, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, same 12, those first church members, For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof. I'll no longer eat anything like this until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse number 18, for I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. It seems like he's alluding to that coming kingdom in which he will take of this cup and take of this bread and have this meal in his kingdom. Seems like he's alluding to that when he says to these church members, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And that's got to be the future kingdom of Jesus Christ. And likewise, set on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I appoint you a kingdom. Look back to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Similar wording, certainly by design and intent. He says unto those who had followed him, who had stood with him, who had continued with him, he said unto those that have followed me, then there's a comma after that me in verse 28, those that have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. To these church members, which I'm sure had failed the Lord, stumbled from time to time, and fumbled on occasion, those that were certainly far from perfect, in spite of all of that, he says unto them, you shall reign with me. These church members, which stand with Christ, these church members that continue with Christ in the temptings and the trials and the persecutions and the afflictions of such, will have a part in my kingdom, ruling and reigning with me during that time. And though they stumbled and fell from time to time, he declares they shall reign with him in his kingdom. These church members. As I said, going back to when he entered Jerusalem and they initially called into question who he thought he was, from that reference to Gethsemane, I've just been looking at these church members. The various references that I can point to and say, that's a church member there. at the church member being spoken of. And I would draw your attention to think about those church members. Think about these church members from our text. Hopefully learn the lesson that the Lord reteaches them about who's the greatest. The praise and the reward that the Lord pronounces upon those that continue with Him. The exaltation that will be theirs if they've remained true to the Lord. Look through those verses, those chapters. Find all the references that you can find that looks like a church member. Here's a list of some that came to my mind in reviewing these chapters. First of all, it was a church member. It was a church member that betrayed Jesus Christ for a buck. He may have been lost, and that was made evidence. But before that was made evidence, he was a church member and thought of just as much and just as highly as every other church member. And it was a church member, and while he was a church member, that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Yes, he was lost, but technically he was a church member. And likewise, in the day and time in which we live and in all the times of the Lord's church's existence, you will have found that from generation to generation, the Lord's churches always have a certain percentage of lost people on the church roll. And these folks will sell out Jesus Christ for profit every chance they get. Judas sold Jesus Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. We can't get technical and we can't try to cipher out the percentages. We are wasting our time spinning our wheels thinking that one out of the 12 was lost, one out of the 12 betrayed the Lord, one out of the 12 was not a real church member. So what does that break down to the average church? What percentage of the average church is lost? That's foolishness. But I think we need to accept the fact that in every church there are those that are lost who will sell out Jesus Christ just as easily as Judas. And I would say to all of those who are church members, make your calling and election sure and make sure you're not one of those. Make sure you're not one of those. It was church members in our text that argued about who was going to be the greatest. In any struggling amongst church members and any wondering amongst church members who's important or who's more important is just as foolish. It's not about who's greatest. It's about letting each one of us serve each other. And even if with title and with office, we're still to serve and have the right spirit about us. It was church members, my friend, that could not pray with Jesus even a little while on the night he was betrayed. As we said last week, it would become dark. And from that time to midnight, the Passover was observed. So it was during those late night hours that the Passover was being observed and the Lord instituted the supper for the first time. And sometime during the night, he went out of the upper room and he went across, was it the Brook Kidron? And he went into Gethsemane to pray. being in great agony. It is here where he will sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. From his pores will come drops of blood. He was under such great pressure. Such great pressure. And it was church members that couldn't even pray with Jesus at this critical hour just a little while. Stay here and pray. I'm going to go a little bit further and pray. And to see their weakness and to understand their weakness, I point out to you, or I remind you tonight, that when he asked them to pray, who did he ask them to pray for? Did you pick up on that? He told them to pray for themselves. It's in your own interest to pray. Pray that the Lord would keep you from the hour of temptation. It was those church members that are commended by the Lord in our text tonight that could not pray with the Lord even a little while. Could not pray with the Lord even a little while. And he comes back from having gone away and being in great agony, and he finds them asleep. Finds them asleep. And without getting too sentimental, we wonder how that broke the Lord's heart. That these church members couldn't even pray with him for a little while. It was a church member that Jesus foretold would deny him three times before the cock crew. It was a church member. It matters not what the church member's name was. It was a church member. Yes, we all know the church member's name, but the important thing, it was a church member. It could have been any one of us. And it could be, in present current application, even one of us yet. It was church members that denied him under pressure, even to the point of cursing and cussing and putting a lot of emphasis into it. It was church members that obeyed him and did as he had commanded. They weren't always failing or coming up short. It was the church members that observed that first supper with Jesus Christ. What a blessed thing that was to be a part of. We know the man's name, but it'll suffice to say it was a church member that Satan desired to sift. Brother so-and-so, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Could be you, it could be me, it could be one of us here tonight that the devil is asking permission to sift like wheat. And I don't understand all these things, never will understand all of these things, but that's the same situation in the story of Job. God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him." And the devil says, "Yeah, but you've got a special fence around him and you've got special protection around him. But if you remove this and you remove this and you do this, you just let me have free course, he'll curse you and die." And God said, "No, don't think so. No, he won't." And he removed all those things. Satan had sought to sift Job, and Job came out with flying colors because the Lord knew him. How will we do when we're called upon to be sifted? Think about the other church members that you find in this passage of Scripture. These church members, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Can it be said of us that we are they? We are those that have stood with Jesus all the days of our life as his children. Are we beyond seeking glory? Are we beyond being great or being labeled by as great and being identified as great? Are we humble enough not to even consider whether or not we ever get noticed? Do we understand that to be great, we need to serve? In whatever capacity we're called upon, we need to serve. And we find that in the example of Jesus Christ. Ye that have continued with me in my temptations, I will appoint you a kingdom. And no matter how you look at it and you want to apply it, there's a special place for the Lord's church. There's a special place for faithful church members. And people can take offense at that all they want to. I didn't write the book. In this old weak flesh of mine, I probably wouldn't wrote it that way. But God wrote it that way. And there's a great and a special reward for those that are faithful and standing with the Lord, standing by the Lord, and who are found faithful when he returns for his people. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.